Time to focus on fixing the Fannie and Freddie mess.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Jeremy Hobson. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner told Congress yesterday the U.S. needs to overhaul the mortgage finance system and decide soon what to do about mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They've been lumbering along since they were taken over by the government at the height of the financial crisis. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Bob.
So we've heard the Obama administration say it wants to get out of the mortgage business. Did we learn anything new?
Well, we got a timeline. Geithner told the House Financial Services Committee he wants Congress to approve a plan for overhauling Fannie and Freddie in the next 2 years. Bob, you may remember last month the Obama administration outlined some different scenarios. One would get Fannie and Freddie out of the mortgage business altogether. Mm-hmm. Right now, they guarantee or own about half of all U.S. mortgages. Another option would have the government back private mortgages only during an economic crisis.
Now, Congress would have to approve the deal, obviously. So what was the political reaction to all this?
Well, some Republicans were quite positive. They like the idea of shrinking the government's role in the mortgage business. A lot of conservatives like the first option, where the only government agency guaranteeing home loans would be the Federal Housing Administration. But the Obama administration is getting some pushback from Democrats. Some Democrats argue that without government guarantees, it'll be very expensive for people in high-priced housing markets like Los Angeles to get loans.
Okay, so we've gone through the options for Fannie and Freddie. How would it affect me, though, if I go out and try to buy a house?
Well, Bob, you'd have to dig into your wallet a bit more. Your down payment could be significantly higher. The thinking is, without Fannie and Freddie backing them, banks could require a 20% down payment, and you'd have to go through stricter checks on your credit history.
Hurry up, huh? Nancy Marshall Genzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
Google still dominates search, both at home and abroad, but Bing is on the move. Microsoft's search engine has now overtaken Yahoo. According to the web tracking firm StatCounter, Bing now has the second largest amount of search traffic in the world. From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
There are lots of firms out there that try and measure traffic that flows through the world's biggest search engines. And the numbers they report tend to vary a lot.
It's a very squishy metric.
Lou Kerner's an analyst at Wedbush Securities. But Kerner says the trends here are clear. Microsoft's Bing search engine is gaining market share. Yahoo is losing it, and Google is still totally dominant. Last year, Yahoo and Bing joined forces. Yahoo stopped powering its own searches, and today Bing and Yahoo sell search ads together.
You know, Yahoo was falling further and further behind, and I think their partnership with Bing was really the best solution that they had to deal with Google.
The idea was to team up and take on the industry giant, but so far, it looks like Bing and Yahoo are just eating each other's lunch. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
No need to Google or Bing the numbers. We've got them right here. European stocks seem to be picking up where Wall Street left off yesterday, that is to say, continuing a downward spiral. London, Paris, and Frankfurt all down as much as 1%. After stabilizing briefly, oil prices are edging back up toward last week's highs. A barrel of crude is back up to a few cents shy of $100.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
There's a move here in California to have the state jump on the nationwide bandwagon for a new kind of sin tax. And we've got LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus in the studio to talk about it. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So what is California proposing here?
Well, a California lawmaker, William Monning, is proposing a penny per ounce tax on sweetened beverages. You're talking soda, you're talking sports drinks, you're talking energy drinks.
Isn't this going to hit low-income people the hardest?
Well, probably, because many studies show that lower-income communities and minority communities tend to be some of the highest users of soda pop. On the other hand, if that's where the obesity crisis is biggest, perhaps that's where you need to target. And right now, what we're seeing is Black communities, Latino communities have disproportionately higher levels of obesity. And overall in America, two-thirds of U.S. adults are either overweight or obese right now. So the problem is profound.
Now, this amounts to a sin tax. Do we know how effective it's been in other states that have instituted this?
You know, it varies with that sort of thing. For example, in 2009, the New England Journal of Medicine said that these sorts of taxes are a very good way to combat the obesity crisis. On the other hand, last year, the RAND Corporation came out with a report that said soda taxes that are at their current levels of about 4% or so are not really going to do the job. People will simply pay that extra amount for their sugar fix. On the other hand, RAND found that if you had a soda tax in the 18% range or 18 cents for every dollar, that would have a big impact.
But a few pennies. Does that really discourage consumption? I mean, I'm already paying, in some cases, $5 or $6 for a 12-pack of sugar water.
All true, and you'll probably pay whatever you want if you want your fix. On the other hand, if our goal is to try and create resources that would give Americans just better opportunities to be physically fit, bike paths, basketball courts, gym memberships, well, that money has to come from somewhere. And as with all sin taxes, you're taking a negative behavior and trying to turn it into a positive.
Mm. Brace yourself, huh, if you're really into that sugar fix.
Or get up and take a walk.
David Lazarus is consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Finally, British Airways now says it's taken action after some unwelcome stowaways started bugging passengers. A frequent flying Yahoo executive claims she suffered 90 bed bug bites on what turned out to be literally a bloody flight from London to L.A. When it happened again on another flight, she lost patience with BA's response and created a website with graphic pictures. She chose a very effective double entendre name for the site, BA Bites. Effective because the airline now says it grounded and fumigated two of its 747 jumbo jets, and it's apologized. I don't know, given the way the airline industry operates these days, I'd start checking your ticket for some kind of new charge now, probably buried under something like the pest removal and mitigation recovery fee. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
That whole thing about reducing dependence on foreign oil, it's been around for a while.
Let us set as our national goal that by the end of this decade, we will have developed the potential to meet our own energy needs without depending on any foreign energy sources.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the great pipeline dream, next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.